Oregon is home to exactly one national park, Crater Lake, and it is a jewel. Maybe you can remember the first time you saw that blue water, and maybe you make that same sound when you see it now. People love Crater Lake, but it needs love of another kind, too. Like most national parks, it has been falling behind in maintenance. Yes, there have been road repairs and some rebuilding in recent years, but there are also many millions of dollars of other work in the park that could be done but has not been because money has not been allocated. The Crater Lake National Park Trust and other groups are making the case that the money should be spent to get Crater Lake and other national park sites up to good repair. Two guests with us in the studio with me is Bill Thorndike, the president of Crater Lake National Park Trust. Good to see you, Bill.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good to have you here. Brad Hicks is on the phone with us as well. He is the president of the Medford-Jackson County Chamber of Commerce. Hi, Brad.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good to have you here. So, Bill, let's start with you. I want to be clear, you guys do not speak for the National Park Service, but for the National Park Trust, Crater Lake National Park Trust, which is what?
The Crater Lake National Park Trust is a 501c3 that is designed to create private-public partnerships on projects around enhancing or improving Crater Lake National Park.
For the folks who are scratching their heads, not quite understanding, why does a national park need a booster club?
The competition, you know, for federal dollars is extreme, and the National Park Service has always been aligned with working with the citizens of the United States, and so this is a convenient vehicle by which we can do that. Also, our national park employees are, of course, restricted from getting involved in politics, and this issue that's coming forward and this opportunity in a bipartisan fashion that has been in both the House and the Senate sets a new course, just as you mentioned, on getting our hands around almost $12 billion of deferred maintenance across 400 national parks.
What opportunity, and we do acknowledge the fact that there is a possible government shutdown pending within hours, so we'll deal with that separately. Right now, though, you're talking about potential for $12 billion to come available?
Well, again, this Legacy Act that is being considered by Congress would set a funding mechanism in place for 30 years. During that 30 years, it would probably only produce about $3 billion. So this is certainly not a glass that's more than half full, but at least it starts to allow us to prioritize those projects across the country that really need that. I think it's interesting to think of all the assets at Crater Lake National Park. This estimated value of all of the buildings, the trails, the overlooks, over $500 million worth of investments. And again, those investments, if they're not maintained, may fall into the lake.
Brad Hicks, give us a sense of how important Crater Lake is to the regional economy. I mean, Medford-Jackson County, obviously a logical gateway through which most people, I would think, coming off I-5 would get to Crater Lake.
Well, without coming up with a list right now, think in your own mind of all of the wonderful things that there are to do in the great state of Oregon. And Crater Lake is at the top of that list in terms of the numbers of visitors that come to our state to see any of those, any of those amenities. So Crater Lake is really important to our entire state's visitor economy. And I thought maybe you were going to ask me the same question that you asked Bill, and I was going to mention, I think it's important to mention, why is the chamber involved in this, or at least why are we involved early? The chamber's been supporting Crater Lake since the early 1900s, going back to our days as the Medford Commercial Club. Mm-hmm. And the chamber supported what was then called the quote-unquote Medford Road. They had this great amenity, but nobody could get there. And then about the time that Bill's grandfather was president of the chamber in the late 20s, they supported resuming the work on that road. So I just think it's important for people to know that our organization has a very, very long legacy of supporting Crater Lake and the infrastructure to get there and to enjoy it. So, but back to your original question, Jeff, I mean, quite simply, we're in the business of helping our members create jobs. We're in the business of creating a strong local economy, and we're in the business of promoting the community. And Crater Lake does all those things. Kind of a no-brainer.
Brad Hicks is the president of the Medford-Jackson County Chamber of Commerce. Bill Thorndike is the president of the Crater Lake National Park Trust. We're talking about the chance to fix up things at Crater Lake where there has been deferred maintenance, as there has been at other national parks. You can join the conversation on the exchange. What would you like to see changed at Crater Lake National Park or fixed up? 800-838-3760 to join the conversation by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So we were talking about the $12 billion in deferred maintenance across all parks. Is that right, Bill?
Correct.
And then you have a number for Oregon, too, it looks like.
Yes, we figure, again, around $85 million of deferred maintenance at Crater Lake National Park, around $15 million at the Oregon Caves, which, again, also is covered by this legislation. Of course, the great thing about Jefferson Public Radio is that, again, this also would have positive effects for friends over at the Redwood National Park and at the Lava Beds Monument, amongst others in the area that JPR covers. So it's important across our two states, when we're talking to our Congress people or our senators, to really say that this concept of the National Park Service Legacy Act is something that could really make an economic impact in rural Northern California and rural Southern Oregon. And as you were mentioning, these are good paying jobs. We estimate, based on some work that the Pew Memorial Trust did, that we could create up to 1,000 jobs over the life of this project funding to be able to, and these are great jobs, carpenters, electricians, et cetera, that would be working at Crater Lake. I mean, it's a short window, about normally 5 or 6 months of the year, but these are great jobs, and we have great projects on our list.
So is there an actual written version of the NPS Legacy Act at this time?
Right. It's been filed in both the House as House Bill 2584 and in the Senate, Senate Bill 751. It's bipartisan on the introduction of the bills. And again, if you've been listening to some of the reports about the National Park Service and the Department of Interior, this is an area where there seems to be support both within the administration and within Congress towards working towards a solution. And the unique thing about this is the fact that we're not going to be taking resources away from all the other good things that we'd like to see government do. This would basically allocate a slice of the royalty payments that the United States already receives anytime there's any mineral extraction on federal lands. So it's a way to, again, fund this project or these projects with resources that are coming from a different source than just general taxation.
A royalty increase, does this mean modifying essentially some of the things that are still covered by the 1872 Mining Act? Because that is like a third rail for some people in the West, as you know.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a unique, it's a unique partnership between, the national parks, which are charged with retaining and saving resources, and the reality in this case that hopefully some of those federal resources that come out of mineral extraction will actually be utilized back in supporting our national parks.
Brad Hicks, as we talk about the impacts of Crater Lake National Park on the region, is there a multiplier you tend to use to indicate, how many visitors come through Medford, Jackson County, and what kinds of dollars they spend?
There is, and we tend to use very conservative multipliers here, but I'll give you a couple numbers to chew on. According to the National Park Service, in 2016, visitors spent a little over $65 million in the gateway communities in our region, just by visiting the park. And that spending, Bill mentioned creating jobs. It's already creating jobs. It's also estimated that that supported a little over 1,000 jobs and pumped almost $90 million in economic output into communities like Medford. So it's that beautiful lake is pretty big business as well.
What, Bill, give us an idea of what some of the major maintenance projects that would be addressed in Crater Lake would be. I mean, what is not getting fixed up now? Have there been any areas closed off or facilities just not used because of the backlog in maintenance?
Yes, you know, particularly over at Cleetwood Cove, where you normally would be walking down to take your wonderful trip across the Crater Lake.
In a boat,
that,
yeah,
the boat. But that trail going down really needs a lot of work. All of the buildings up there in normal years are subject to up to 20, 25 feet of snow on the roof, and you know what that does to the trusses and everything there. But the greatest thing, and one of the fantastic potentials for this is we're in the final stages of really designing and proceeding on a new Rim Village Information and Visitor Center, Education Center, up at the Rim. As you know, half the year people can't hardly even get out to the lake to see it because of the snow. Or, you know, if you're taking grandma up, does she really want to walk down those stairs to the Senate Memorial Overlook, or do you want your little grandchildren scurrying around that edge? And what we're looking at is going to be a wonderful visitor center and education center up next to the Watchman, which is the existing cafeteria and shop that the concessionaire runs. But we're getting closer. But once we build that building, it needs to be maintained. And what's unique about this Legacy Act is that we get a better chance at getting some of that resource because of the National Park Trust and because Oregonians have bought over 400,000 sets of Crater Lake license plates. So every Oregonian that has a car with a Crater Lake license plate is actually a supporter of Crater Lake and potentially that resource that they paid when they got that license, which is now held at the Oregon Community Foundation in Portland, Oregon. We can use that money to, in essence, leverage our access to these funds, assuming that Congress supports it.
Is it like a match then? I mean, the more that you put up locally, the more Congress will deliver?
Yeah, well, as we well know, and that's been one of the great things in Oregon, is that we've been able to really leverage a lot of different federal programs because we bring that 10 cents and they give us the other 90 cents to actually get the work done.
Let's bring in some calls. There are quite a few lining up here. We're talking to Bill Thorndike, the president of the Crater Lake National Park Trust, and Brad Hicks, the president of the Medford-Jackson County Chamber of Commerce, about the National Park Service Legacy Act and a chance to catch up on some of the deferred maintenance, which amounts to $85 million at Crater Lake alone. Here's a call from Ben and Eugene. Welcome to the Exchange.
Hi. I wanted to know if there are any plans or if you're going to start making the park more ADA accessible. We went last year as disabled people and with a senior and found it extremely difficult to find handicapped parking and the crowds everywhere. I was wondering if they've ever thought of doing like Yosemite, parking by the main gate for most people and then transporting people up to the village by bus who just want to do the typical tourist things. And I know it'd be almost impossible to make the lake crossing trip by the boat accessible to people with disabilities, but at least maybe bus tours around the rim would make it a lot easier and cut down on the amount of cars.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, good thoughts. Thanks for that, Vince.
Yeah, we have a public-private partnership with the Crater Lake Trolley right now, which is doing that. But, you know, I think one of the important elements that you bring to bear with your question is in our new orientation information center, think of the quality of a video experience. I mean, you'll be sitting up there at 7,000 feet, and through the marvels of technology, we'll be able to have you in that visitor center actually descend down to the lake and into the lake. So you get to go down into the deepest lake, and one of the deepest lakes in North America. So I think that's certainly important. And to your point, again, as you well know right now, many of the access points at Crater Lake National Park need to be better equipped for peoples with disabilities. And the most recent trail that we built to the Pilchuck Falls, again, was designed for handicap access, again, people utilizing off-road wheelchairs and stuff. But again, it was designed to your point, to allow people with disabilities, and trying to have trails of enough distance so that you get the feel for the land, but not so long that it would be an impediment for an elderly person or young children to do.
All right, another question here from Connie and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking Crater Lake with Bill Thorndike and Brad Hicks. Hi, Connie.
Good morning, gentlemen. I think we all know that Crater Lake has a tremendous amount of visitors and a lot of things backed up that need to be done. But my concern is, if you tie money for maintenance to mining or extraction revenues, then do you not put pressure to open up more lands for extraction, et cetera? And is that sort of in reverse of what the national park should be there for?
All right. Interesting question, Connie. It does raise the question of whether you're asking for a behavior that some of the visitors to national parks might not necessarily want being having taken place.
Well, I think Brad would be a great person to answer that. Again, at one point, he actually worked in Congress, and I think he probably has a good answer as to how we get to a critical point where you actually get stuff done.
So Bill leaves the tough ones to me.
Right.
Well, I do think it's a very interesting question. Right now, the way the legislation is written, it would take revenue from existing projects. So I don't think the legislation would, in its current form, be encouraging activity that park users wouldn't like. But I suppose that legislation is always open to changes. I would say if you're really interested in those pieces of legislation, the bill status is that the Senate bill was referred to the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee, and the companion bill, which is in the House, was referred to the House Natural Resources and the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committees. You could probably go to those committee websites, see the legislation in its current form. And you raise another interesting point, which is just the fact that legislation changes as it moves through the process. We, too, meaning the chamber, will be watching this legislation to make sure that it comes out in a form that we can support in the final analysis. But as introduced, we think that it is going to address these infrastructure needs. And I don't know that it would be encouraging behavior and activities that some might find unsavory. It's already taking place currently.
Right, so you're saying no new extractive work is what you're saying.
Well, there may be, but I don't think it'll be because of these pieces of legislation.
Let me let Connie and everybody else in the world know, too, that it is a great site and has been for many years to take a look at bills in progress. That is thomas.loc.gov, thomas.libraryofcongress.gov, or just go to congress.gov. It'll take you to the same place, and you can enter the bill numbers and see what the current events are. This is H.R. 2584 and S-751. So, Brad Hicks, what conversations have happened with Greg Walden thus far? Because Crater Lake National Park is entirely within his second congressional district.
Yes. I have personally only had one conversation with one of Congressman Walden's staff members, and it's certainly on their radar screen, but I can't say that I've had a direct conversation with Greg, not yet, but I intend to, nor do I know, and Bill might have had some conversations with Senator Wyden or Senator Merkley, but that work, that advocacy work on our behalf has not yet begun.
So where do things stand with the rest of the congressional delegation, Bill Thorndike?
Well, again, none of our Congress people, DeFazio, Walden, our senators, have signed on as co-sponsors of it. So, again, it is something. That's why, again, it's so important to have this type of advocacy education being done, as you're doing for us today, Jeffrey, that, again, we'd like to get it on people's radar screen and pose those questions to either their staff or, and of course, we're so fortunate, particularly in Oregon, where, we can almost have coffee with a senator every other week, assuming that they're not in Washington, D.C. So we have a unique opportunity to offer input on these types of questions. And again, that's where it's really going to be important across the board to see what we'll get would take to get our congresspeople and our senators across the line in supporting this effort.
Assuming you get everything you want and we get a bunch more money into Crater Lake National Park to fix things up, are there any concerns about capacity? Is Crater Lake approaching a point at which it is reaching what has been referred to in recent years as national parks being loved to death?
Exactly. I mean, over 750,000 people a year ago visited Crater Lake. It's a huge impact. And, to the point, parking, configurations. But, again, I think that Park Superintendent Ackerman and the entire staff at the park have just done an amazing job. You know, we're in the process of refurbishing the road around Crater Lake for the first time since it was built in the 1930s. And, again, it is addressing some safety concerns and some improvements so that hopefully bicyclists won't just fall over because they're going down the hill at, 20 degrees off the edge of the top.
So now we do need to address where Congress and money stands at the moment. We're looking at the possibility of government shutdown if the Senate doesn't act within the next few hours, which raises the possibility that access to national parks might be cut off or limited. I mean, it'll end at some point, but does it have any long-term impact on visits or attitudes about parks themselves? When a shutdown happens?
You're right. It's a tremendous strain, and it's such a visible point of what happens when we do go through a financial crisis or we have to shut stuff down. Because, I mean, quite literally, but think of all the planning that our superintendents and our administrators have to do right now because, how do you turn the lights off? How do you make sure that people are safe?
All right. Well, that's the short term. We'll see what happens this weekend with the potential for a government shutdown caused by a deadlock in Congress. The long term, we'll keep an eye on what's going on with the National Park Service Legacy Act, which is House Bill 2584 and Senate Bill 751. Bill Thorndike is the president of the Crater Lake National Park Trust. Brad Hicks is the president of the Medford-Jackson County Chamber of Commerce. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
You're welcome, Jeffrey.
Thanks, Jeffrey.